horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bay.
From Tampa Bay Downs in beautiful Oldsmar, Florida. Well, not so beautiful. It's a little overcast. And in fact, the weather is threatening. But we're not going to worry about that. We just are keyed up for yet another stop on this never-ending magical mystery tour that just keeps going. And it'll continue on through Ocala. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and Tina acknowledged that she will pick me up next Wednesday, a week from today. She will pick me up at the airport. I get back at 10:50, and from Ocala, and it'll draw to a close. We'll take a breath this 5 week run, and the trip from Gulfstream to Tampa yesterday. I sort of split the baby a little bit. Didn't take Alligator Alley. Kind of came up 75 and then jogged around. So we'll see what Marty McGee is here, and you will get a sampling of the conversational stylings of Marty McGee in just a minute, and Marty will help us set the table for the draw today. They figure to probably get the draw out early in the afternoon. It won't be an overnight. It'll take a little bit, I think. They're going to want to make sure to get all they can on what is always a fabulous card. And I guess this will be, my first one was, I hate to acknowledge this, maybe Marty, I'm curious what Marty's thought is, but my first time for a Tampa Bay Derby may have been the best Tampa Bay Derby. And that, of course, Street Sense. And any given Saturday, it is hard to top that one. It was just a knockdown drag out. Absolutely great. And the start of Street Sense's campaign to the Derby. Nafsker happy with a test like that. I remember having that conversation, and then got beat at Keeneland in that crazy Martin. What was it? At least four horse scrum finish with Dominican. Yeah, Darren Miller had two. Who the Dominican and forget the other one. Who was the other one? Dominican. He had two good ones that year. Great Notion? Was Great Notion? No, he was more of a sprinter. But there were two in that pink jacket with the black fleur-de-lis of Silverton Hill. But Street Sense and Any Given Saturday, about as good as a race you're going to see. And it may be Grunder's best call ever. If you haven't, you know what? Maybe we'll pull that up and take a listen. It's one of my absolute favorites. Well, good morning from the little press box here at Tampa. The little track that could. Actually, we use that. I think we use that for about five different little tracks. The Delaware is the little track that could, right, Marty? Right? What about Fairmont? Holy cow! What, you got to come? You want to kick off the conversation point? Put that headset on. Enough. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports on 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, SteveBick.com. And Mark Bick.
What about Fairmont Park? We went there on a Tuesday afternoon in August, early August. The place was jammed. It was awesome.
FanDuel Racing and Casino.
Yeah. There's a number of little tracks that could. The old River Downs reminds me of this place. Quiet.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah, quiet. You know, I like this place a lot.
That the view from Old River Downs of the river was very, very special. It's been modernized and remade, but River Downs. That's a good analogy. A lot of people come here for the first time, and they've got certain places that remind them of it. I've heard Turfway mentioned the old Turfway. Who knows what this new, kind of going to be interesting, what the new Turfway is going to look like.
I remember when I was a kid, I was probably 12, and we went to Turfway. You know, there was no simul torture then. Yeah, this is in the 70s.
You went to Latonia.
We went to Latonia, exactly. And Vernon Sailor et al., Charlie Woods, I don't know if he was even riding by then. He might have. Anyway, their program was printed in green on St. Patrick's Day. I thought that was so neat.
I love it.
It is green ink for the program.
That's really cool. Yeah. I love it. That's a great bet. That's a great little aside. I got there when I moved to Cincinnati. At first for Cannon Mills, and then I stayed. Then I switched over to Procter & Gamble. But I got to go to Latonia right before it turned over to Turfway, and really enjoyed. We'd go for Derby simulcast. And you know, it's stupid. I don't know why back then. And you're talking about this would have been right when I was out of college, so it would have been late 82, 83. And then I got transferred to Kansas City in 84. But I don't know why I didn't go to a Derby right from that point. And I'll tell you, it didn't really occur to me to go down to Louisville and go to a Derby.
Were you not a racing fan then?
No, I was. I absolutely was. My buddy Doug Wagner, Doug and I went to Latonia a few times. And I know we went and watched a Derby. So it was either 83 or 84. And we went and bet the Derby at Latonia that day.
Oh, they had it by then. Yeah?
I think. I mean, I remember going there for that. And I don't know if Doug will remember.
Well, it was renamed Turfway in 86.
So it was a little bit. I would have said, okay, yeah, that's only 2 years later. And then I've been back subsequently. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. The racing's been unbelievable at Turfway. Unbelievable. Every week.
I watched it Friday night for the first time.
Did you really?
Yeah. Talamo was on some horse, barely got beat. But I caught the late pick four. Of course, it was the
chalkiest yet.
Well, it paid four something, but I had five horses going. Of course, the favorite of the five won, because that's the 87.6% rule. Wow. You know, whenever you have a whole bunch of horses that scientifically proven 87.6% of the time, you're going to catch the favorite.
Speaking of which, I should mention that Tis the Bomb did win that Battaglia. That I slipped that in the other day with Alex Achard and one of the funnier people on Derby Trail said that'll be a sufficient prep probably for the Epsom Derby, which is the traditional Battaglia Epsom prep route.
But he'll probably run him back into Jeff Ruby, right? And then, of course, he's not really a dirt horse, but we're going to go ahead and run him in the Derby anyway.
Exactly.
So then they'll run in the Derby and then run in the Epsom. Well, when is the Epsom?
It's usually Belmont. It's usually Belmont Saturday.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Then in addition to the Battaglia, the Cincinnati Trophy, Bubble Rock for Brad Cox. So I did mention this. Brad Cox, who had a very under-the-radar good weekend around. And I mentioned it in passing as part of the conversation with Andy and about what a good payoff that ended up being in the cross country. But the Down the Dusty Road, Connie Kay for Randy Morse won that Down the Dusty Road. And we already mentioned Garhole. That took the No Double Breeders, and what a nice Archy bread that is for John Ortiz. Mart, let's set a little bit of a stage and touch on, before I throw some other things at you, let's give everybody an idea of how this field is expected to assemble later today, because it continues to morph, notably around some big barns like Pletcher and Brown.
Yeah, Chad is going to run the debut winner from here on the Sam Davis opener, Money Supply. He got a 91 buyer out of his 6-furlong victory that day, and I had not seen this horse's name pop up on the probables for the Tampa Bay Derby here on Saturday, but with a couple of text messages this morning, Chad said that we are going to enter. And Jose Ortiz will be in from Gulfstream to ride. So Money Supply, a new face in there. As far as the other mega barn, Todd Pletcher, he runs only Major General, whose last start resulted in a victory and 10 Kentucky Derby points, by the way, in the Iroquois way back in mid-September. And Todd told our Jay Pridman of the Daily Racing Form yesterday that he will not enter Charge It, the very impressive maiden winner over at Gulfstream earlier in their meet. Charge It instead will run in the Florida Derby on April 2nd. So what it looks like, we got maybe, I don't know, 11, 12, something like that. They can only run 12 in the Tampa Bay Derby, but I guess second choice might even be Ship Sational, who was second in the Davis behind Classic Causeway, or Major General, or the aforementioned Money Supply for Chad Branoff. That, even though it was going short, we know that when Chad thinks things stretch out, oftentimes they do.
Well, here's some of the other names that I know you've been monitoring and featuring. Belgrade for Graham Motion, who we may talk to today. We got kind of a different schedule. Best wishes, by the way, this morning to Dick Powell. Dick can't join us. Dick having a little medical procedure today, so best wishes and thoughts Dick's way. Belgrade for Graham Motion. I started to say about the schedule. Sid's going to come by. Sid's going to run over and visit in person, which should be a lot of fun. I said to Marty, when was the last time you saw Sid Fernando? And you couldn't even... Years, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were colleagues back in the early 90s, I think.
Early 90s, yeah. Folks. Early 90s.
Yeah.
Think about that. It's now the early 20s.
The one time I was unemployed for a few months between my Baltimore Sun, which I resigned there in January of 92, and then I joined the form in May of 92, Monmouth Park. Love the place.
The greatest.
Sid and I were in contact then. I guess I forget what his deal was then. But he had been with...
He was doing the Bloodlines thing.
For the form or not?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or we might have come on about the same time. I forget. But I thought we had a history back in with the... With the Jack Cohen production.
There you go.
Because I wrote for that Racing Action for a few years.
Racing Action.
And I think he might have done that too. Did he?
We're gonna get a chance to hear. I love those stories, and I've had that one. I did get that one visit. One of the benefits of pandemic was being able to have to craft 3 hours of radio conversation from two racetracks. And so when people had enough of Will Rogers and Foner, we were able to come up with all kinds of things, including some historic retrospective. And when we went through the Triple Crown, I brought out every jock and trainer on the anniversaries. But one of the most fun was a conversation I had always wanted to have, and I still have the lists at home on my wish list, file. I had made a list one summer of Figs Form, Racing Times, and
Racing Action.
I don't know. Racing Action wasn't the third. What was the that I loved actually when I was really getting serious? The paper that.
Sports Eye?
No, the Litvin came from it, and Kachulis, and MetroTurf. MetroTurf.
That must have been a New York thing.
It was a New York thing. MetroTurf was like this little 16-page daily snapshot, and that's where Closer Looks came from. Closer Looks would be you didn't have full PPs. You had like this little snapshot. This was way ahead of its time. And so if you were just going to, I had an office. I worked at 52nd or 42nd and 5th. And so I, could run to the OTB and bet doubles and such. And so you didn't want to buy a whole form. There was no reason to buy a whole form. So MetroTurf was the option. So anyway, I had all listing of staffing. And the first conversation that got accomplished, Evan Hammonds and Eddie Fontaine to talk about their time at Figs Form. And
I think Keith Fustel, my buddy, worked there too.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at those lists and you see who was where and so much cross-pollination.
Well, I'll tell you, Erwin Cohen, who's still one of my bosses at the racing form, he was Jack Cohen's right-hand man with Racing Action. And he let me ride. I pretty much honed my craft there in the late 80s when I was working for the Baltimore Sun as a handicapper and part-time rider under Dale Austin. And then Erwin was letting me do a lot of featurey kind of stuff. I remember I did he said, do the best 25 jockeys in North America right now. And I the one thing I remember is Larry Attard was included in my top 25. I don't know why, but he was. And then, I wrote a story on Mike Daggett, and he responded, and it made me so proud. He said, "You're my favorite turf rider ever." I wrote something on Mike Daggett. I don't even know if he's still alive, is he?
I don't know. I heard his name. That's probably now. When you say I heard his name a year ago, it's probably more like 3 years ago. But yeah.
And Bruce Johnstone wrote something about him. Now, he died, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I wrote something about him. I think he won the Tessio one year when I was writing stuff for Racing Action.
How about that?
And I guess it's very much akin to the blogs and stuff that people right now are doing, honing their craft and trying to get good at it. And
and it's paid off. It's paid off for a lot. For whatever reason, yesterday with John Parada and Maury Wolf, and we had a wonderful reaction to the visit. It got people, I got emails and Facebook and Twitter all responded, and they really enjoyed it. One thing came up that I should have really pressed John on to expand, and that was Billy Birch.
William Birch.
Yeah. Yeah, Preston,
his son, right?
Preston and Elliot Birch, in the third generation, and died of cancer, like at 37.
Wow. You had Maury Wolf on. That rekindles a memory for me. He was Andy Byers' right hand man back in the mid to late 80s when I was first starting out with the Sun. Of course, we were already in awe of Andy. He'd be there a lot, but. I remember thinking, this Maury Wolf guy must be pretty sharp if he's, he's hanging with Beyer.
Well, and I had to look up Larry Attard because there's nothing wrong with that record. He had 2,366 wins, right? And a career that lasted, into the 90s, actually. I didn't, 97 was his last.
I probably did this story in about 88. I had been to Woodbine and Fort Erie, by the way, for the first time on a... a racetrack sojourn one summer, and I was pretty enamored with both of those places, so I figured I had to throw in. And I guess that Larry Attard was the hottest jock at the time up at Woodbine. But
he's
from that family tree with Tino, who always seems to have a smile on his face, and Kevin, such a nice guy. And I'm glad he did good with that horse a year or two ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That I can't think of
the mare.
Yeah. Philly, she was a grade one winning turf mare.
Well, and then she had that. Then
she was a Florida bred, I think.
Well, then had that that disastrous the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland.
Yeah, I can remember things 35 years ago, Bick. Don't ask me something that happened 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, that's one of the signs, Mark. His big horses were Let's Go Blue and is it Apelia? Apelia. Were his two big graded stake winners.
Who, Larry?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That Apelia won the Genuine Risk 2 years in a row.
Okay.
Well, for Nob Hill Stables, a Cool Victor mare out of a Conquistador Cielo mare.
Well, in any event, I had him lumped in with Pat Day, Lafitte Pinkai, Eddie Dalhousie, McCarron, and everybody else. So
well, the Attards listen, and so that'll filter back. Unbelievable. Well, now we've gone off the rails, Mark. Here, let's go back to the. It's so easy for you and I to get distracted. Belgrade, we mentioned from Grand Motion. This all started because I was saying that it's kind of an unusual schedule this morning because Sid's going to come by later.
But Graham Motion was supposed to join us at some point. Classic Causeway, we know, of course, is running and favored. Grantham, right, from Mike Maker?
I know nothing about that horse.
And Happy Boy Rocket comes back in this spot for Frank Fletcher and Mott.
Yep. And then you got Major General, Money Supply, who we mentioned, Shipsational. By the way, Jay Primmett presumably has talked to Eddie Barker. And I remember I texted grinning one day. I said, is it Ed, Eddie, Edward, Ned, Mac? What's the Sheryl Crow song? Mac, Billy, or Buddy?
That's great.
He said it's Eddie. So, anyway, Jay has called him, and our Derby Watch feature for
today
for the Friday. Yeah, today for the Friday editions will be
about Eddie Barker.
Eddie Barker and Shipsational by one Jay Pribman.
The life and times.
Well,
of
hopefully
of Edward R. Barker.
Hopefully,
he is best described as a unmade bed on 2 feet.
Well, you probably know him better than me. I cannot cast such aspersions.
It's not an aspersion. Okay. It's just anybody in New York that's listening is on the floor because he's one of these guys who invariably has got one side of his shirt untucked. It's unbelievable.
Well, I hope he wins then. We also have the two BBN Racing. By the way, I tried to get a hotel room about a month ago in the Safety Harbor, which we love, and couldn't do it. I'm like, what's going on? What is happening here?
It's gotten crazy.
And it's the SEC tournament, I think. The SEC tournament is here at Tampa on
the weekend?
Yeah.
Like tonight?
Starting
tonight, or probably a play-in game tonight, maybe, or tomorrow?
Kentucky plays Friday, but the reason I thought it was BBN Racing, they're running both of their nominees, Spin Wheel and Trademark, and then there's an Arendelle homebred, the Skipper 2, so we might, talking about Belgrade for Graham, I asked him this morning, had you thought you might get excluded, and he hadn't even thought of that yet. So I think he might be first man overboard.
Well,
if they have more than 12.
We should be, no, I think we're okay, right? 1, 2... 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10.
Okay.
It's perfect. Perfect.
But this isn't an official list that I've put together.
There might be. That's true. There might be. Yeah. There might be any. Nice work finding Money Supply lurking, who looked so good opening that Sam Davis card. Back for a minute to the demand for places to stay and whatnot. You know, I had not been down, obviously, here since 2019, East Coast or West Coast of Florida. It is mayhem. And the hotels booked solid, pricing easily 50% above what it was 3 years ago. Construction everywhere you look. Traffic, I mean, just mind-numbing traffic. And I typically stay out by Tarpon Springs, basically so that I can walk the pier there. The
Rusty Bellies? I had never been there till my colleague, Rob O'Connor, my colleague and fellow Sanex grad, Rob O'Connor, took me there on my last trip here on Davis Week. It's a great place.
My mother absolutely... Who was a sucker for anything like that. When we used to stay up in Cape Cod... We stayed at a little cottage right in North Truro, right at the dunes, and then of course the next town is Provincetown, is the last town, and she loves the kitschy routines of Provincetown, and she, you know, the Greek food she loved, and the shopping for sponges to bring home and whatnot. And it was funny, I brought a sponge, the real sponge. For those of you that don't know Tarpon Springs, it's a sponge diving community, essentially, and fishing pier, and you might as well be in Greece. I brought home one of those real sponges, and so I'm looking, the right size and whatnot. And the woman says, I said, I'll take this. She goes, well, you know, it's $38. I said, yes, it's okay. It's a gift for my wife. I'm gonna dig deep. They last forever, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever had?
No.
It'll last forever. It'll literally, I mean, it, you know, if you wring it out and let it dry, you know, every night, it's in the bathroom at home.
Do they grow them in that particular area, or are they naturally occurring?
Oh no, they're down on reefs and stuff. They dive, cut them off, and you know, bring them up and back it. You know, they don't even package them; they just sit there and sell them. Oh yeah,
nice.
By the way. What's our Cristino's plan?
I got all my Maryland buddies are coming in town today. I think we're booked.
Booked out all the way?
And then my girlfriend's coming tomorrow night. That's why instead of staying with Rob O'Connor, we're staying somewhere else. So, yeah.
Wow. So I can't take you to Burns. You hadn't been to Burns Steakhouse, which we were trying to get you to Burns.
We're going to some place tonight. I'll have to look it up.
That's a Privman favorite.
Is it?
The dessert room.
I don't know, Bick.
I'm very deeply disappointed. No Cristinos?
I don't think so.
Not even with the girlfriend?
Well, we're going to have a fun day at the races on Friday, so that's going to take up a lot of time.
All right.
All right. And because you know, it's all I got to do Friday for Sunday is the Gulfstream analysis, and then maybe your show. Maybe I get off your show Friday if this counts.
No, this does not count. That was really. I'm rolling my eyes for those of you who can't see it. I am going to go back and give Marty a huge plug. I don't know if it got back to you. If it got back to you yesterday or whenever I brought it up, there it is. Here comes Bullet. Marty McGee, Hermes himself, right on top with the $35 winner. And I got to believe some people that hit the rainbow force out got it thanks to you.
Hope so. I mean, I ended up, I put it on Twitter after I'd gone 6 for the first 8, including that entire pick 4 on top.
Are you Marty or Marcus?
And,
hey now.
But then of course the last 4 races I got
you got goosed.
I got got. But anyway, I didn't even play that rainbow because I thought it was that hard.
Really?
But I did play that middle pick 4 that landed with Here Comes Bullet. I had it for $1.50.
Look at you.
So, you know, it was eight simoleons.
How about that? Paid $272 two and a half times.
One and a half times,
excuse me.
Yeah, so I was
look
just,
at you.
I was just doing the Thursday analysis, and
and you were pissed that Welch had dumped it on you, and look, and you got a bonus out of it. I walk into Gulfstream, and he's like, yeah, sure.
Well, that's kind of a stock joke because I've when I come down here, I do the Thursday and Sunday analysis, so I was just kind of teasing him. Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike, for giving these 12 Sunday races. You know,
were you at? I didn't see you at the track Sunday at Gulfstream.
No. Okay. I was at home writing the Thursday analysis and catching up on some Tampa work.
This is the life we've chosen.
Yeah,
yeah.
I work every day. I really do.
Yeah, no, you love it. You love it.
Not all day every day, like some people, Steve Asmussen and Chad Brown and you know some other guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do they work 18-hour days every day? Every day.
Well, I don't know if you heard, you know, my reference to that, and I'm sure Chad's the same way, but the Steve Asmussen thing, I said to him when he broke the training win record, I said to him, how do you keep track of this? Because, you know, I can ask him about any horse at any of the division, and he, you know, he's certainly relying on Toby Sheets and on Scott and Drew Fleming, etc. But he'll tell
Darren.
You. Darren, excuse me, not Drew Fleming. Drew Fleming is the BC guy.
But when they won the 2009 Mountaineer West Virginia Derby, the guy said, "Here, Daryl." Not Darren, called him Darren. Daryl. Okay.
I appreciate that.
So, okay.
But they, you know, they're obviously, you know, putting their hands on daily, but he knows what everybody's done. And I asked him, how do you do that? How, you know, how do you cultivate that? And he said, it's sort of a family trait. He said, don't ask me about my, you know, 300. He said, ask how my father keeps track of 1,000 yearlings and 2-year-olds on the farm.
Wow. Yeah.
1,000.
Well, Steve underestimates, at least publicly, his intellect. I mean, you got to be smart to be able to do
sure.
that.
Sure. Sure.
It just, and so he's, you know, to his credit, he's earned everything he's gotten because he has combined extremely hard work with, you know, his talents.
His natural, yeah, the natural talents. And it is, you know, who wrote about, did somebody write about J.J. Pletcher and Todd and
yeah,
and
there was a big article
right about
that
the father son tie-ins,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
yeah. It's you know, that helps. I mean, if you've got somebody that you know helped establish a certain pattern, you know, while I've got you too, I because I can kind of reflect on anything. I didn't get a chance yesterday or Monday to talk about my travel to get to Gulfstream on Saturday, other than mentioning how that Fort Lauderdale is quickly becoming Miami Airport. It's sliding down that scale of mayhem. But
it takes longer to get your bags at Fort Lauderdale Airport.
Half an hour than I waited
to fly. Yeah.
Years ago, when Tina would travel with me and we'd fly into Fort Lauderdale, I think the next move is to start flying again into Palm Beach. When my mother and father had the place in Boynton, we'd fly into Palm Beach a lot. But then if I was coming strictly for the radio and coming for the studio on 17th Street Causeway, I'd go to FLL. The trip, I had to drive Friday after the show back to New Orleans, back toward New Orleans.
From Hot Springs?
From Hot Springs.
Okay.
Because I'd gotten this crazy Southwest flight direct. New Orleans direct to Fort Lauderdale.
They have those.
I was shocked at $91.
Yeah.
So I thought, all right, rather than, you know, screw around with Memphis or Little Rock. I mean, Little Rock, I'd still be waiting for the flight to Fort Lauderdale. The, which like once a week, you pitch a tent. So I start out after the show. And for those of you that follow on Twitter, you're well aware because I tweeted everything as it was happening to me. It was like, you know.
You went by Vicksburg, didn't you?
I did go.
That had to be awesome.
Well, on the way from New Orleans to Hot Springs, I knew I wanted to stop in Natchez. I'd always wanted to see Natchez and the Antebellum Mansion. So I did that, and that was great. And discovered certain things and ran into that Lynyrd Skynyrd Memorial Grove at the site of the crash. That was, I mean, wild. So I thought, all right, we're going to come. I got to go a different way. I'm not going to just drive back the same way I went to Hot Springs. So I angle toward Vicksburg because Hammer had actually asked me while I was at Natchez. He said, are you going to have time to go to Vicksburg? I said, I don't think so. That was on the way down. So on the way back, I said, let me swing through Vicksburg. And I knew I was only going to have at most an hour to drive the, you know, for those of you that go to national cemeteries and Battlefield, Saratoga and so forth, Antietam, you know, it's a driving tour essentially, and you keep stopping at various skirmish points and whatever. There's an app. But well before Vicksburg, the first thing that happens, about an hour and 10 minutes east of Hot Springs, I see back from the road, see a bunch of cars parked, see a sign, I see kind of a ramshackle-looking place, the Woodshed, Barbecue and Catering.
Oh, you posted that, I saw that.
Oh my God. So I must have gone by easily 300 yards and said, what are you doing? What are you doing, stupid? Turn around. So I turned around. I go pull it. I must have been a little past. It was past noon. It wasn't a lunch hour crowd. It was a little past. And the place is packed. So I go in and I it's overwhelming because if it was up to me, I would. You know, I pull a diner, the left side of the menu. You know, I'll take ribs. I'll take a sliced platter. I'll take everything.
Is this a horse racing show, by the way?
Who cares? It doesn't matter. Listen, my name's on the show. We go where we want.
Loose horse.
Loose horse being rounded up by an outrider. That doesn't necessarily look like both outriders, right? Yeah, good catch. Yeah. Well done. Yeah.
So you got barbecue to go.
It's lunch, and I'm expecting to be in New Orleans later for dinner. I don't want to overdo it. Let's keep it simple. The daily lunch sandwich special. Pork sandwich, coleslaw on top, chips and a sweet tea, $6.49.
Oh, my God.
Then I see that they do a brisket, not a sliced brisket, a chopped brisket sandwich. I said, let me throw in the chopped brisket, too. That was $4.99.
Wow.
It was not steady. So get the pork. Pork is melting in your mouth. Very good. You know, pork can be just simple. The brisket was mind-blowing.
What's the name of the place?
Woodshed.
What town?
Whitehall.
Whitehall, Arkansas.
Well, and then when I put it up, I got a great response. One guy said, you know, next time you come through, you need to do an Eastern Arkansas. He said there's a whole Eastern Arkansas corridor of Arkansas-style, you know, as it were, barbecue. The place was absolutely fat. And I'm telling you, this can't be a town. I mean, it can't be a town of – I can't be a town of 5,000. I mean, it's a burg. You know, it's a hamlet.
They have those there.
Well, but to have that is, a treasure. Yeah. A treasure. I'd eat there 5 days a week. Then – so now I got to get back – you know, I got to get back going. Now I'm getting close to the Mississippi border. Not that close. But, I guess we're angling down from Whitehall now. I forget what even the route I was on. 65, I want to say. I see a sign, one of those brown, tourist thing. Signs. World War II, Japanese-American, internment camp museum.
Hmm.
Think to myself, town of McGahee, spelled just like Dee Dee McGahee,
mm-hmm.
of Rachel Alexandra. What's the uncle's name? Dolph
Morris.
Dolph Morrison. And I'm thinking to myself, why is there an absolute outpost. It's in the railroad depot. I pull up, and there's a woman whose name was Barbara. Barbara, and I told her, you know, what I do, and I was going to tell people about it. And if you're going to go there, tell her you heard about it on At the Races. I knew about Manzanar and the camps on the West Coast.
Right.
There were two camps in Arkansas.
Wow.
Right there. A town called, one called Roar and one called Jerome.
Hmm.
I was
dumbfounded.
Absolutely dumbfounded. I will not say that idiotic word, gobstruck. If something should be struck from the lexicon, it's gobstruck. It's unbelievable. It's beautifully done. They raised money for years to open it. Japanese descendants that had been sent there visit all the time. The camps are gone. They were leveled pretty much. But it was unbelievable. Mm. George Takei, Mr. Sulu, family was on Star Trek.
Yeah.
George Takei was taken there with his family.
I had no idea.
I was amazed, just amazed, and you know, I had very emotional. The Lynyrd Skynyrd thing was a shake up, and then this was equally moving. I amazing McGahee, McGahee, Arkansas. World War II and tournament camp museum, and asked for Barbara. And then I made it to Vicksburg and got just a touch on the outskirts of, you could walk within, within reach of a few of the things. And Vicksburg looks amazing. I've been to Gettysburg extensively and Antietam. So we'll make Vicksburg next time.
Quite the historical buff, aren't you?
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
But, what about Bellarmine, though?
Unbelievable. I'm scared to text Scotty and after he was on a few weeks ago. I couldn't believe it, that they're going to be excluded from the tournament despite winning the conference and the tournament, and Jacksonville State somehow is gifted a berth in the NCAAs.
Yeah, my dad was might never have told you this. My dad is in the Bellarmine Hall of Fame.
Wow!
For baseball. I think he got inducted in about 78. He was a graduate of 1958, among the first classes that were there. We used to call it the High School on the Hill because... if you didn't go away to school, you went to the
you stayed in town.
But it's grown a lot in the last 30 years. Well, it used to be called Bellarmine College. Now it's Bellarmine University. But my dad was he played pro ball for 1 year and then got homesick, and that was the end of his career. But he made me be a catcher, so I played pitcher and catcher till I was 18. You know, in hardball. And then after that, it's too tough, and then you start playing.
I could see you. I could see you being somebody tough to run into. You're kind of low to the ground. It's hard to bowl over.
I didn't have too many of those. Thankfully, maybe I avoided them. I don't know.
They started me. When I started playing little league, farm league, they put me behind the plate.
But my dad graduated in '58. My brother graduated. My brother Paul graduated from Bellarmine in '86, I think. And the day he graduated, I was there to surprise him, and he drove back with me to Maryland. That's when he started galloping horses.
Wow.
I said, I heard about this guy, and I had only been in Maryland about, 18 months. So I heard this trainer's real nice. We'll go over and try him. It was Larry Horning. And since then, Larry's coming here today to Tampa. He and his buddies were all having the weekend together. And he's the guy who was in the plane crash with Harrison Johnson.
Oh, my God.
In the summer of 85. There were three men in the plane, and Larry was the only survivor.
Oh, my God.
And, so a lot of tie-ins, and I'm glad we're talking about horse racing.
Well, we had Mr. Johnson's son on the show last year. Last year? Or the year? Yeah, I think last year.
And I think Paul ran a Balthazar B in the Harrison E. Johnson Memorial, one of those winters there at Laurel. Maybe, yeah, I think he did.
How about that? It's amazing. That's been, to be honest, yesterday with Maury and John. I'm sorry that you didn't get that you couldn't hear that because things come up and names come up and. There's so much, and the history is so rich and colorful, and it kind of goes. I tried to as unsuccessfully to explain this yesterday. Given the history, Mark. Don't you find it odd that people complain about and are aghast at certain things that happen in the game when a lot of those things are the things that historically make the game so colorful and interesting and rich?
Well, people also complain about things now that have been going on for a long time. People in charge have tried to figure out how to solve those problems, but they're just so difficult to solve. And I can't think of anything specific, but one jock who I'm a big fan of blamed over the weekend for looking back at race and stuff. I don't know. I think think they deserve a break sometime.
Was he talking about Lascano, and he's going to talk to the stewards on Friday. They want to understand. You know, sometimes when you see somebody looking back and looking down, sometimes they're looking at legs and they're feeling something that is off. But this was different. It felt like he's kind of looking to see where certain foes might have been, and that he thought I don't know. Did he think that he had horse at will?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a big jockey blamer. I think they deserve a lot of benefit of the doubt. If you think a guy like Lescano is trying to lose, I think you're wrong. He wasn't trying to lose that race. Maybe he was showboating. I don't know. But I remember writing about Lasix and the whole Lasix deal back in the mid-80s, around Ali Sheba and all that. This stuff's been going on 35 years now, minimum. And, just some of the other anyway. But, yeah, I'm all for the history part and stuff. And I got to go to work, Vic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You sure? you made it this far.
Am I off Friday or not?
No, you're not off Friday. We need selections. I mean, come on. You're not. This is, It's not a trip to Tampa. In fact, just the other day, on my what do you call it? The Facebook memories. There was the picture of you here with me, and if I'm not mistaken, Bart, you were just getting over. You were just recovering, right? When you were on the mend.
Oh, with cancer?
Yeah.
It's been 10 years ago this winter. I was doing the chemo and.
Okay, but then I got to look back again. Then on that topic? What's the famous date? What's the get checked date?
July
6th. All right.
July 6th, 2011.
Well, but what's the date where you, is that the date you remind everybody to get checked annually?
That major operation.
That was the day of the operation. All right, so get checked. How about that? He wouldn't be sitting here, folks, and you wouldn't be getting $35 winners on top either. That's the way we think. Yeah, if Marty was gone, we wouldn't have had that winner. get the prostate. Ask for the prostate check every time you go to the doctor. Not every time, but on a timely basis. You of a certain age. That includes me. All right, I have basically steered us right right into the rocks now, Marty. Couple of things, because we did not get to the one thing I did not get to yesterday in what ended up being a runaway train, which is not unusual, was those results from the stakes at Parks. And they ended up being pretty full. I think I mentioned just that they were formful. And then as soon as I was getting ready to launch into it, Shug came back, so we got Shug back. Bird King for Michael Pino, and this is actually a Mary Lou Whitney bred Tisnow out of the mineshaft mare Bird Legacy. Michael Pino for owner Greg Carlvale or Carvalley, and 760 with Castillo. That was in the Washington Crossing. As things got going, you did have a modest price. Hey Mama Luke ended up winning the Penn's Landing, beat Jakarta, and Jakarta just could not get, that's the Trombetta that we mentioned, and just could not get to Hey Mama Luke, who, it's not like she was loafing either. I mean, she was going at a good clip under Hernandez. So that was for Patty and Mike Farrow. Always happy for the Pharaohs to do well. And owner Joe Capriglione. It was the San Gennaro Fest at Parks on on Monday. And then Hollywood Jet, you know, got tested. He got tested pretty much in the fish town. He had to turn back a few different probings, and ultimately held safe under Ocasio at 3-2. Carlos Millian for himself, owner trainer of this nice Hollywood Jet, the uncaptured 4-year-old. And I had not gone back to record the figures like I do it on the weekends as much. But let's tell you what. Just curious, Hollywood Jet, 95 buyer for Hollywood Jet, 89 for Hey Mama Luke, and a 93 for Bird King. So there it is. And then coming back yesterday with four more. Now, what happened yesterday, the situation with the EHV-1 is unfortunately going to play out. And so the extensive scratching yesterday that tore things up. But they still run the races, and they do have the force out today of that pick five that you heard about from Chris when he was with us on Monday. But the main line, which scratched down to four, at 1-9, essentially, morning matchup for Butchie Reed. This is the central banker, Pennsylvania bred, for LC Racing and Cassius King and Gary Barber. Morning matcha for 10 cents on the dollar under Frankie Pennington. That got things going in the main line. Then the Society Hill, Kisses for Emily. That was a mild upset. And Dylan Davis actually came down to ride. This is a Union Jackson filly, that Sequel and Lackland bred. Lou Linder, Brand Jam, and David Clark. Third of four, Scaramouche. And this race went pretty much, the Rittenhouse Square went pretty much a fullish field. Yeah, only had two horses that had to scratch. But Scaramouche, a Munnings gelding. And this one for Lupe Preciado, owner Nicholas Camerano, bred by Stoneway. And finally, in a badly affected Sister of Brotherly Love, just three horses able to go postward. And you did have, it's funny, you had the longest shot on the board, quote-unquote, 1060 for Twisted Ride, Kate DeMasi, for the homebred KCK Racing. And there's Great Notion. Great Notion turns up, as mentioned earlier this morning. Kind of funny. And they've actually got partners, Final Turn Racing involved, and Michael Day with Twisted Ride. And that was with Ray Silvera aboard. So nice seven stakes over the 2 days at Parks. All right. You know what we're going to do? Because I did mention it, and it is one of my favorites, and it might be a good way to exit this crazy, rambling first segment. This first hour today, and we're gonna pull it up for you right now. And before we go to the top of the hour break, and I'll see about what's coming next. But I think you'll enjoy what I'm telling you. I haven't heard every call that Richard Grunder ever made, but this one a favorite. The Street Sense 2007 Tampa Bay Derby.
And they're off. Away and running in good order. All I Can Get is away sharply and right to the early lead on the outside. Most distinguished any given Saturday. Comes away third. Street Sense is along the rail, and the last horse away is Delightful Kiss. They make the charge to the clubhouse turn. As expected, All I Can Get and Luis Gonzalez now clear off to lead by three. Most distinguished is second. A gap of two. Any given Saturday. Settles into strike nicely under Velasquez third. Three lengths farther back to the 2-year-old champion Street Sense. Racing fourth about seven lengths off the pace center. And two clear of long shot Leslie and Muse. 5 lengths further back to Optimistic Steve, and far back is the Lakeville Kiss. They turn up the backstretch. All I Can Get has the lead with Most Distinguished second. 3 lengths farther back, Any Given Saturday, biding his time third. He's clear by 4 lengths of Street Sense, racing along for it. Leslie and Muse is now fifth as they leave the half-mile marker and swing around the far turn. The Michigan Bread, All I Can Get, trying to take them start to finish. Most Distinguished is second, and now Any Given Saturday. Johnny Velasquez lets out a notch, and he's rolling up. 3 lengths clear. Street Sense is now on a roll with a quarter of a mile to run. Most Distinguished strikes to the lead. Any Given Saturday on the outside. All I Can Get is third. Here comes Street Sense, a carbon copy of the Breeders' Cup with a rail skimming trip in deep stretch. Street Sense along the rail. Any Given Saturday. Here's the matchup. 100 yards to come. Street Sense, Any Given Saturday. Down to the wire. It's Street Sense. Any Given Saturday is right back at him. These two heads of pegs. Too close to call. Might have been Street Sense.
Not just might have been. It is Street Sense. And you tell me that if that isn't Grunder's best call. I mean, absolutely terrific, including, you know, picking up that Street Sense was, you know, rail skimming, just like the Breeders' Cup, and then just like the Derby. Unbelievable. I'm sure over the years I've asked Satish about the race, and you know, because of course, you know, this is his home track, and it had to be a little frustrating getting beat there. Not that Any Given Saturday didn't, you know, have a nice, you know, very nice career. And I mentioned afterward, of course, on to Keeneland for Street Sense, and he got beat in that four-horse photo. And the four horses, Dominican Wins with Rafi Bejarano, Street Sense, Zeniero, who I was a fan of. I was a big fan of Zeniero. And Teufelsberg actually was fourth. I may have forgotten. I want to say Jamie Sanders, right?
Yes.
Right, Marty?
Yes.
Jamie Sanders. And Great Hunter ended up fifth. Was actually
Doug O'Neill,
right? He had two horses that year.
Number 20
You picked Great Hunter?
Yeah, never be our
friend. Now we've gone this far and we still have a minute before we take a break. We might as well get the official word. Now that looks like, yeah, that's Monmouth. That's the classic. There we go. There is your Kentucky Derby. And the other, Sedgefield. Sedgefield was the other Darren Miller horse. How about that? In fact, you know, that was one thing that was crazy about that year. Now that I think about it, it of course kicks off one of the best classic sequences, certainly in our lifetime. There wasn't a better sequence of, you know, Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. It's hard to argue that.
07?
Oh yeah, right. The best three. That has to be the. Between Street Sense, Hardspun, and then Curlin over Street Sense and Hardspun, and then Curlin and Rags to Riches, and that's the best. And of course they've all gone on. But one of the things that was unique about that Derby was all the multiple horse, you know, same barn connections, right? Because we've got not just Sedgefield and Dominican, but you also had Bill Kaplan. Bill Kaplan had those multiple, right? Had I'm a Wild and Crazy Guy, and what he was actually heading toward Derby with three horses: Storm in May,
I'm a wild and crazy guy, and there was a third horse even that Kaplan looked like he was going to get into the Derby. That was just a great, great year. And you look at that list, and then O'Neill with the pair with Zaniero and Great Hunter. Yeah. So you had, and then Todd had multiple horses, right? Yeah, Todd had, I think, two or three. Circular Key, Any Given Saturday, was Sam P. Yeah, Sam P, I think, was Todd, right? Yeah. Todd had five. What a crazy portion of that. Todd, Bill Kaplan, and Doug O'Neill with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the 20 horses. Amazing. And Asmussen, too. Asmussen had two. Jeez. Amazing. And everybody was complaining over the weekend about all the multiple horse, this is 15 years ago. And everybody was going crazy. You know, everybody was nuts about the Maker thing, the Maker five horses. Nobody said a word about Baltus having four on the West Coast. It had four in a race in one of those stakes as well. Yeah, this was my. I tell you what, not only was it just a great Derby and Preakness and Belmont. I will make the note that. It was Belmont week of that year that the show became At the Races with Steve Beck in 2007. There you go. So another landmark. Unbelievable. All right. We're in rare form today. Let's take the top of the hour break, and we'll come back. I have no idea what's next. Sid Fernando is on his way here, though, so we'll... We'll come up with something. I'll try to twist Marty's arm to come back for another half hour. He might be willing. Back after this to Tampa Bay Downs here in beautiful Oldsmar, Florida.
Shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back.